Hopefully just the title today will give you all some excitement. Because I think if you're all trying to get past some of the things that you deal with in life, finding peace and quiet would be good. Now, hopefully you're not thinking it would be a really good time for Roger to not say anything for about 30 minutes and you could just all sit here with your eyes closed and rest, and that would be your peace and quiet for the day. While that might lift some of you up, it doesn't really do my job any good. And they may need me out in Rio or something if I dye my hair or something. Wherever that place was that Glenn was talking about. How many times have you been with life and you've gotten so burdened by things that are going on that you said, just give me a second? I think of parents so much like this. Whether your grandparents, your parents now, great-grandparents, you've probably dealt with this with your children or maybe with a spouse or a loved one or a family member. That everything that you're trying to at that moment is so tying you up that you really have no more capacity to give. And somebody keeps asking for things. Hey, I need this. Hey, what about this? Or, again, talking about kids, especially when they're young, 3, 4, and 5. Mom. I think I've talked about that in another lesson. They just keep tugging at you. It's like, just give me a second. I need some peace and quiet. Some other things that you might think about this, too. This comes into play a lot. I'm one of the assistant managers on my son's baseball team, and I don't have enough baseball experience to really be able to get out there and tell the kids all the fundamentals that they need. I know what they need, but I don't know how to tell them to do that. I love playing baseball. I wasn't a great baseball player, and I didn't play enough years to really have the depth of knowledge that I could impart to them. But I am somebody that can see the coach, and I know when the coach is getting stressed, and I can try to calm him down. I can try to calm the kids down. I know what they need to do to be in their proper frame of mind to work well. And I think I went through all these just yesterday in a game that we had. Another unfortunate loss, but the kids, when they did these things, they were focused. I'd see those pitchers get up there and things would start going badly and they'd get kids on base. Well, 2 times we had bases loaded and the pitcher was struggling. And I would try to give him encouragement. Parents would try to give him encouragement. You would see him do that. And then it was a strikeout 2 times. He had bases loaded and they ended the inning with the bases loaded. He was doing what we were talking about today, finding peace and quiet, trying to focus on at that moment what's most important. Another thing that you hear, take a deep breath. Sometimes people tell you that. I just got all these things. No. Take a deep breath. Okay. This is what I need to do. And the same thing. Just relax. Sometimes that could be almost a pain point right by itself. Somebody, just relax. You don't want to hear that. I don't want to relax. I want this done the way that I think it needs done. Relax. Let it go. Take a step back and reset. Lessons like this are useful for me. I think they'll be useful for you. But what I want to look at is something we were talking about in class today, and we'll get to that in just a moment. So why do we talk about these things? Just give me a second. Take a breath. Relax. Deep breath. Just let the world go for a moment. It's because sometimes we feel like that last point up there, we feel like the world really is on our shoulders. It may not be the whole world. It may be that your family, everything that your family needs of you right now, you're the only person that can provide that. And so for that time, everything is on your shoulders. You need to make decisions that will affect others, and you are just a person too. So consider Christ. That's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to look at finding peace and quiet in our lives by looking to the person that indeed did have the world on his shoulders, and that in his solo role, as I've got up there on the text, what was Christ? He was a creator of what? Just a couple things. He was creator of all things. We can see this in text. He was a mediator between God and man. When we failed to do what God wanted us to do, he was that connection. He was the only connection. He was the Savior. Not only was he our mediator, but there was no way that we can meet God without Christ being that Savior for us and being the perfect sacrifice and Redeemer. So all these things we talk about so often, Creator, Mediator, Savior, Sacrifice, Redeemer, but ultimately he was human too. That's what makes him so special. If he was God, he could do all those things. He was God. He could do all those things. But the humanity part is what makes him more than anything else that we could ever imagine. It makes him pray to what we struggle with. And indeed, he did have the world on his shoulders. So what are we going to look at today when we're talking about peace and quiet, something that we all want, something that we all need, something we need more often? We need to take effort, make progress in our lives to find it. So how are we going to do that? Today we're going to do that by looking at finding peace and quiet, what it really is, and look at how we can do it and know who else needed it. And I think you'll see some of the things that we've got from the things that we've talked about in class lately. So finding peace and quiet. In Isaiah chapter 9, the text in Isaiah 9 is talking about the government will be on the shoulders of Christ, how it will answer to Him. They will not control Him. He will control them. In Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, all my passages, as always, are from the New King James Version. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder." I thought about that word. The way that the Bible reads text sometimes can have very specific meanings. It doesn't say that the government will be on His shoulders. He's not carrying the government around. It will be on His shoulder. And when you think of shoulder, the mental picture that I get from this passage and from my understanding here is it's like when you put something over and you're carrying it. Like a bag of feed, or even when Christ was carrying the cross, it was over His shoulder. He was carrying that along. It was a weight on Him because of who He was and how corrupt the government can become. And His name will be called, some names that we've used before, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, peace and quiet. That's what we're talking about today. So if He is the Prince of Peace, if He is the heir of being able to provide peace for others, He should be the one we're looking at. And that's why we're looking at Christ today. And it goes on to say, of His increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. So how far does the peace of Christ extend? It says it, there is no end of it. We often look at that part about the government, saying His government will never cease, and we stop there, but that's not all of it. The peace that comes from a government. When you look at history, when a government is doing things really well, the peace that comes from that extends the duration of that leadership. We see that in the Old Testament. Some of the greatest kings of Israel, when they did things exactly like God wanted them to, it says, peace came to them. The people did not know war. They didn't know difficulty. This one says it will never stop. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, how far? Even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's no doubt. You go through all these things. This is what's going to happen. Here's who's going to do it. So who do we look at? Christ. So who is Christ? I bring this passage up too many of my lessons maybe for some of you, but I just think it's so important because John in the first chapter talks so much, helps us understand who Christ was and who Christ is. John 1 through chapter 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. We've talked about that so many times. But look at the words that I've underlined. In Him was what? In him was life. When we want peace and quiet, we want our life back. Other people are taking away from us. We want to have it back. And so if we want to find life, we have to find Christ. And in Him was life. Again, we're kind of jumping ahead here because we're talking about the Word in this passage, but we'll see that shortly. And the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When do your kids, when they're very young, get a little bit agitated? When it's bright out, or you got your lights turned on, it's at night, and the storm comes and the lights go out, do they just go, "Ah, this is so relaxing"? If you're in my family, as much as I like storms, my kids would freak out. They did not like that. They got very anxious. They cried. They would just get upset. We probably all done that. Maybe even us individually, we've done that ourselves. When we don't have light, it concerns us because we don't know where we're going. So if we want to find peace and quiet, we find where there's light, where we can see what's going on. Darkness, we don't know what's going on. It might be quiet in darkness, but there is no peace in darkness because you just don't know what's happening. You want to have that light too. We talk in this passage, kind of talks about who John the Baptist was, but then he gets right back and says who this person was that was called the Word. In verses 10 through 13, he was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? Of God. So how do we have peace and quiet? We have to be understanding who Christ is and understanding that He gives those things to us. I thought about this too, and odd as it may be, you have to kind of forgive me sometimes with my mental pictures, but I was thinking about the aquarium that I got in my son's room. These little fish, these little betta fish that he's got. And he's got one that's left in this little aquarium, and it just sits there and all it does is wait for food. And I was thinking, I'm a big person. Every day I walk by there, I give him some food, and that's the only way that he's alive. But what if I decided one day, hey, I think I'm going to be a betta fish today. I'm going to go in that aquarium. That's the most ridiculous thought I could think of. But the reason I thought of that is I was thinking of how did Christ feel about going to His own creation? We see Christ as a normal human being. I've talked about this before. But He created all things. And so how big was He? Is bigger than we are with relationship to that aquarium. And He became, as if me going into that aquarium like a fish, He became a human being. The lowest of His creation, He became like us just to get us back to God. So we just can't understand how far Christ went. And while we're going to be talking about peace and quiet today, I really want you to see everything that Christ gave up to come here for us. Because if we want to find peace and quiet, understanding how much He cares about each one of us is going to help us see that more clearly. We talked about this in class a while back. John is killed, and in Matthew 14:13, it says, when Jesus heard it, learned about his cousin, learned about the one that would come before him, it says he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot and from the cities. The next several points that we're going to be talking about is how important the very God of heaven on earth, our Savior Christ, found getting peace and quiet for himself. And it wasn't relaxation. It wasn't, Abe and I talked a little bit about this, it wasn't just getting away and going on a vacation and having a good time. He wanted to pull himself out of the difficult things that he faced and reconnect to the things that were going to give him strength. He learned about what happened to John, and it says he went to a deserted place with a bunch of friends. No, he went there by himself. And over we see that. We've been talking about the 5,000. It was in today's lesson. It'll be in a lesson as we're finishing up next week. Matthew 14:23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, so he just fed them, they're going away, what did he do? He went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When he wanted that peace and quiet to detach from what was being taken away from him in teaching and working miracles with others, he went to an isolated place to find God, to be with God, and to recover, getting his peace and quiet. Also, after healing the sick and the disease in Mark chapter 1, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those that were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. Again, I really want you to look at the passages and the text that I have underlined today. So, he's gone up into a mountain. He's gone into a place by himself. And now, he's getting up before everybody else. And it doesn't say he got up an hour or two before them. It says, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Well, I don't know how long a long while is, but my first guess is he got up at 3 a.m. to go up and to the solitary place to pray. Again, look at who this person is. He is God's Son. Why would, in so many years of being a student of the Bible, I've looked at it, why would he need to even be close to God? He was the Son of God. Well, he was in human form. And that communion that he had with his Father was just like some of us that maybe are separated from our moms or our dads. How much would we give, especially those that have passed on, would we give to be with them for just a little while? To just have that loving relationship again. To be back to where we could put our arms around them. That's how it would be feeling as a human being. Look how long Christ was with God before he was here. And we'll see here too, the point where even those that were close to him actually had to look with difficulty to find him. Because he was so interested in being separated from life to be in communion with God. So do you think Christ wasn't busy? He needed peace and quiet even if it meant getting up early in the day. So escaping life, finding time for prayer. If it was important to Jesus, how much more could it be important for us today? We are the product of Christ. We are the product of God. If we really want to be closer to them, these things should be things that we think of as well. Continuing on, following this discussion about keeping our charitable deeds secret, tells us don't be going doing them to be seen of others. Keep them to yourself. And why do you do that? Matthew 6:6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The old King James said not only going into your room, it says go into your closet. And I always like that better because it seems like the place that you would not likely go into, the place that people wouldn't likely find you in, but a place that would actually separate you from everybody else. And I think about when I was a very young kid, my grandma had this cabinet when I was actually small enough to fit into it. Sometimes I'd like to go into that cabinet and open up and shut it. And I could hear everybody else out there, but I was all by myself. And I was like, this is my special place. We had a house up in Vandalia. Odd as it was, we had a gas line that came in, and there was just a little bit of light that would come in. And sometimes I'd go in that closet and I'd shut the door, and the way that the light shined off the freeway, it would flip over, and on the wall it would project the exact image of outside upside down on my wall. And so I saw everything in reverse, and it was bizarre. But odd as it was, as a kid, I liked to escape like that. I liked to be by myself. I had two twin brothers that seemed to always be active, and I was always trying to get away from them. And so sometimes the closet was a good place. But just even going in there for a little while, it helped me just be myself. It helped me have the peace and quiet that we're talking about today. But you can do that at an even better level when God's there with you. Go into our rooms, shut your door. It didn't say just go into your room and start praying to God. It says shut your door. Absolutely make all connection to life cease for just a little while to find that peace and quiet. It starts where God is and if you're with Him. Next, after talking about the crowds and how some of them would see the kingdom come, where people say that the kingdom has not yet come, well, this is a passage that we can always use for showing them that the kingdom that was being talked about, even going back to Daniel and to Abraham, came true in the time of Christ. Luke chapter 9 says, now when it came to pass about 8 days after these things, that he took Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Again, thinking about this, we talk about how many times Christ went up into a mountain. I just drove through Colorado. Even small mountains take some difficulty to get up in there. So it may be going to a private place. It may be really working to get away from others. So when he went up to the mountain, it wasn't just a simple walk down the street. He made effort to get away from others. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistened. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah. We talked about this last week. Who appeared to him in glory and spoke, and he spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. As I mentioned in the adult class today, when you start breaking Scripture out to present lessons, or maybe you want to work on your study, there's words and things that pop out at you that you maybe have never thought about. How many times I've read this passage about Moses and Elijah being with Christ when this time where his face shone and he was transfigured on the mountain. How many times did I look and see where he talked about what he was talking to them about? What did he say to them about? He was talking about dying. Deceasing, and how it doesn't say he was talking about his decease and that was going to be the end. He was about to accomplish it. How many times you say people were working to accomplish their death? Death is usually what you want to avoid. When you accomplish death, it doesn't make sense normally. But that was why Christ was here. His goal was to die, and not just to die, but to overcome death. And he found peace and quiet by looking at this with two of the most famous people that we can see in all Scripture at this time. In that same passage, it's going to continue on. Sometimes peace and quiet includes those close to you. I put the ladies on here. I didn't want anybody to misthink that having peace and quiet for me is having a lot of ladies around. That's sometimes true and sometimes not. But I was thinking about you ladies that were able to go to Fort Hill. Getting away from what you got to do at home. Getting away from families or maybe just all the chores that you have that carry you in. What do you typically like about those retreats? Well, it's usually because you're all by yourself, right? I can tell who went and who had a good time because there's lots of smiles going out there. In this case, Jesus wasn't alone. He took those people that were close to him, just as you ladies went with people that were close to you, and you're all focused on the same thing. Passage continues to go on, and we see Peter being Peter. Peter and those that were with him were heavy with sleep. So was Christ doing this real quickly? Did it happen fast? No. It took time for him to pray and for this transfiguration to happen, to the point where those with him were heavy with sleep. So they didn't just fall asleep. Showing that they were heavy with sleep means that this has been happening for a while. So I just want you to give you some idea to look at time. And when they were finally awake, he saw the glory and the two men that were with him. And it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to him, Jesus, Master, and he wants to create the tabernacles for him, not knowing what he's talking about. So I asked a question here. Was peace interrupted by Peter? Maybe. Christ was trying to do something. And you see, when Peter starts getting involved, they disappear, the cloud overshadows, and God says, this is my son. Hear him. We're going to get to that passage right here. It says, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were fearful, and they entered the cloud. And the voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Listen to all these guys. Listen to Moses and Elijah, because they're famous. You guys know them. No. Who was more important? Christ was more important. He says, hear him. Not Elijah, not Moses. You guys have had their writings. My son is who we're talking about today. And this is when the voice had ceased. Jesus was found alone. Again, going back to that point, getting away from things that causes distraction and focusing in on God by ourselves. And they kept quiet and told no one in those days of any of the things that they'd seen. Then we go to the last instance that we see about finding peace and quiet by himself. Jesus is in the garden. He knows that he's getting ready to be arrested. What's he do? Matthew 26, 36 through 38. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. I really want us to also look at this. Jesus, the Son of God, seems to be doing everything perfectly. He has no trouble. He's doing the will of God throughout. But yet, because of his human infirmity, because of being a human like us, he says, not somebody else, but he says, I am sorrowful. I am deeply distressed, exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. The human condition that he was in had really become very impactful for him at this moment. So what was his answer to that? I don't know what I'm going to do. The world's on my shoulders. We don't see Christ as that type of person, but if it was us, what would we do? How would we find peace in this moment? He says, stay here and watch with me. This passage almost sounds like he was praying with the disciples, but it's not true. As it continues in that verse, it says, and Christ went a little further to pray alone, even with those that were so close to him. These guys had been with him through everything. He needed to be with God. This was between him and God. That is where he found peace and quiet. And though he was distressed, that's where he found it. So peace and quiet can give us rest too. Matthew 11:28. Christ says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We talked in the beginning, when the world is on your shoulders and you feel like there's no answer, how are you going to get over that? So to all you who labor, well, work makes us burdened. All you who are heavy laden, when there's a lot laid on us by other people, whether it's at work or whether it's our responsibilities, how do we find a rest for that? And that's only through Christ. Matthew 11:29 continues on, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Another passage that I really had to look at a little bit more carefully. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. Remember, we've talked about this. I think Kyle and others had been recently doing this in lessons. A yoke for oxen is not usually one, it's two. They're side by side. When you put them on there, you have an ox that's pretty talented and maybe a new ox that doesn't quite know exactly what to do. Because they are joined by the neck, everything that the smart ox does, the less experienced ox is just going to have to understand how to do it. If it decides to go wandering off, it's going to go, nope, I got to go this way because that's what this one wanted me to do. That is what Christ is trying to get us to see. I know we are going straight ahead. I'm going to heaven. If you want to be with me, get in this yoke beside me. I am not getting off this path. As long as you're in there, you're going right along with me. And that is how we learn from him. And does it say he's going to force us? No, it says he is gentle and lowly in heart. And if we listen and we do the things that he's having us leading us, we'll find rest for our souls. Hebrews chapter 4. If Joshua had given them rest, talking about an alternate rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from the works as God did from his. So when we're looking for peace and quiet, what we're looking for is rest. Talking about carrying the old law into the New Testament. Galatians 2:20, a lot of us remember the song, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What peace and quiet can you find there? Everything. And Christ will reconcile, Colossians 1:20, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And we're talking about the government. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, but suffered. He did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins, his own body, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Again, looking at Christ as the shepherd and overseer of our souls. No warfare. Pilate asked Jesus. He said, "Are you a king?" He says, "Yes, I am." You've answered correctly. But I want to jump down to the last part. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Finding peace and quiet, being yoked with the one that can say that before the leadership that he was facing. Everyone who is of the truth, hears my voice, was the final bit of that passage in verse 37. Be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Look at some of these things. Finally, brethren, going back up. All understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So how do we find peace and quiet? Having Christ guard our hearts and our minds will give us the ability to think about these things. Things that are noble and just and pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy, meditating on these things. So, reviewing. First of all, life is not easy. There is plenty to weigh us down. You know, around this room, I've said it many times, I could give a huge list. Each person might have several things. We need to take a break and relax and find some peace and quiet. And we need to remember that Christ had a greater load than we could ever know. What He has done for us is beyond what we sometimes give Him credit for. We can learn from Jesus on how to deal with our challenges in life. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace that we talked about. So again, you got royalty doing exactly what you're trying to find for yourself. Look to His example. He was of God, He made all things, and yet He was unknown to His creation and not received. Continuing on, to recharge after stressful events, Christ went alone to find peace and quiet by getting close to His Father, God. He climbed mountains to get away from life and to get closer to His God. He took boats or got up very early in the morning, if that was helpful to Him. Even with so many disciples, He was often on His own or protecting them. And I wrote, His vigor was increased by God until at last He overcame death, and now He is our peace and quiet. Is that us automatic? It is not. He is our peace and quiet if we find Him and if we follow Him. So, and as we prepare for the song of the invitation, I ask you these questions. Do you have true peace in your life? The type of peace that we're talking about today. Is your life quiet and worry-free? Or are you stressed, have a great deal of concern? Is it worry-free of death? Is it worry-free of eternity? And if the answer is no, why not? You can do something about it now. Do this passage. To remind it, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And who's going to give us rest? It's going to be Christ. We've got to look to Him, we've got to follow Him, and He will come through for us every single time. That is the lesson this morning. Please take out your songbooks, the front pews or chairs, as we have them here, often sit without a person in them. But that is just a tradition. It's almost become an uncomfortable tradition of many congregations. But the invitation and the example in Scripture that we have is to let our needs, our sins, our struggles be known to the congregation. And that's why we have the invitation. First of all, for those that are not Christians, to come forward and accept Christ, to be part of this group, and then as a part of this group, to say, I can't find the peace and quiet on my own. I need help. And the prayers of the congregation will be yours. So think about these things as we stand and sing number 374.